His dissonance and timing keeps her head bopping. Just short of death, she ain't stopping. 88 keys, they know this. Whoa, they say, we ain't gonna stop this. Suddenly, new inspiration comes. All 88 keys know this is going to be fun. You see, Scott Joplin has tickled her fancy. Intricate his timing, delicate his mastery. Jazz purists are left in a spell. 88 keys stay hot on the trail. Her playing is tight, it tingles the ear. Hey, someone shouts, she's paying tribute to yesteryear. Play on, play on, the crowd yells. Yet Miss Scroggins wants to quell with fascination her own interpretation of Imagine. John Lennon's magnum opus, his anthem, the lyrical revelation that must become us. Then it was as if the whole club just shook. Even the drummer and bassist stopped to look. Miss Scroggins has summoned the late, great Mr. Sam Cooke. Why? Because he knows her pain and then some. His message is her message. A change is gonna come. All night long, she raptured with song. Her theory ingenious, her phrasing 88 keys strong. Then the end came, as did the music the same. 88 keys fell silent. No one moved, no one took to the night. Even though her mind and body was spent, to acknowledge the crowd's ovation, she stood and bent. But the crowd would not relent. So again, she bowed and bent. Again and again, she bowed and bent. And like all the greats before her, into the night she went. 88 keys, some of them black, some of them white. 88 keys are from left to right. Oh, what joy, oh, what delight, 88 keys got played tonight. And with that, that's the late, great Miss Janice Scroggins. I miss her a whole lot. A whole lot.
That was great. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm speechless.
She loved the poem. I wrote the poem a couple years before we went into the studio. I told the producer, I said, hey, you know, I may never get a chance to, you know, perform with her again. And we called her up and she said, yeah, I'll come in. And we recorded that in one take. Just, she started playing and we just worked together. It's legendary. What else? Oh, I want to give a big shout out to two dear friends, Paul and Sherry Fishman. They let me know that they were going to be listening tonight. Just some of Karen and I's dearest friends. They're wonderful people, big supporter of Emmett Wefall Poetry. And if they're still up listening to this, just want to give a big shout out to Paul and Sherry Fishman. Love them.
And if they're not listening to this right now, hopefully they listen to it later on the KBOO website.
Sounds good to me. I'll tell
KBOO.fm.
I want to talk a little bit in some of the remaining time we got left. The latest album, the latest one out is called Welcome Home. Welcome Home. And the reason I want to talk a little bit about this, set this up a little bit, is that this is really the really artsy album. It's not really about blues or jazz or any of the other kind of genres. It's really piano music. And the pianist is a man by the name of James Blackburn, Jim Blackburn in town. He's probably one of the most unheralded pianists in Portland. I called him up and said, hey, Jim, he used to be my piano teacher years ago. And I said, how would you like to work on a project together? And he said, yeah. He said, I've been thinking about poetry and music. So what I got him to do, I says, you write all the piano music for this, and we'll go in the studio, we'll record it. We'll have just a drum and upright bass on many of the pieces. And he wrote all the music, and I took all the music for about 3.5 months, and I wrote every single word on this album. And I sing on this one we're going to play for folk. It's probably the only time I'm going to really be really sing and do poetry as well. But this is called, which one do you have queued up?
I have Welcome Home queued up.
Yeah, Welcome Home is the title track for the CD. And then we'll do Mr. Piano Man Where I Sing. Okay. I love this. Listen to this. Welcome home, son. Welcome home. We so missed you. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say, welcome home, son. Welcome home. Your room upstairs awaits you. And that furry little fella in the living room, he awaits you too. Your Jackie Robinson posters, well, they're over there. Your Brooklyn Dodgers baseball cap, it's right here. Your mother, she'll be back in a few minutes. She went to buy some strawberries. She knows you love strawberries. Your aunt and uncle, they're on their way. You coming home has blessed this entire day. What a fine man you've become. And to think you're my son. What a great person you've become. For you are your mother's son. We so missed you, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say, welcome home, son. Welcome home. The whole album tells the story of an African-American soldier who's returned home from the Korean War, and Welcome Home is the introductory track that, and his father's welcoming home, the family's glad he's back. And the whole album tells the story of him falling in love with Dara Dinard. Dara Dinard, and
There are a number of things that take place over the tracks that tells their love story. And of course, there's no good story without tragedy, and I won't give it away. But this next track called Piano Man, he owns a bar, and there's a saxophone player named Cleophas. And he lets Cleophas know that Dara Dinard's not the kind of gal that you want to make overtures toward, because he's interested in her and she likes him. And so he does a little entertaining for her there in the bar, and it's called Mr. Piano Man. Hey, Mr. Piano Man, play for me a jazzy tune. Something fancy, something I can sing to. That's it. Yeah, man, that's it. Here I go. I love me some Dara Dinard. She's sassy like a Negro bard. Prim, proper it seems. Dara, you the girl of my dreams. I've waited all my life for you, sugar, for you, my spice. I'll love you with all my mind. I'm gonna love you if you don't mind. Dig this. One and two and three and four and 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 I love me some Dara Dinard. She's pretty like a sweet tart. Sweet, kind it seems. Dara, you the girl of my dreams. I've waited all my life for you, sugar, for you, my spice. I'll love you with all my heart. I'm gonna love you till death do our part. I love you, Dara. I love you, Dara Dinard. It's a great album, man. It's got some wonderful artsy, poetic storytelling poetry on it. So
it just feels like a play.
Mm-hmm. Could be. I need to write a play.
I'm kind of a play musical.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. Yep.
Do we, well, we don't want to play anything that's going to give away the plot. Correct?
No. Afro-American story. Let's go ahead and play Brown People We Hear, and then we'll go back to Them Poetry Blues and play On a Sad Day. That'll be the last track, and we'll just close out with some stuff. What do you think?
Okay. Sort of, I got a little confused because we got the emergency broadcast system sending me something, but I don't have to do anything about it right now.
All right.
I just got confused.
No problem.
Are we
Brown
going?
People.
We are playing, we're going with that?
Yeah. Okay. And then we'll set up, while that's playing, we'll set up On a Sad Day, and then just close out with, you know, I really want to thank you, man. This has been great. Just
it's
getting
a lot
this
of fun. I don't know. I work at a record store, but I write stuff and don't make music. But I know there are several other poets I know who are all about kind of reading with music. But you've done a great job of that.
Thank you.
You were able to this is such a fun show. So we're going to go to
Brown People, not the intro, but just Brown People. We're here.
Okay.
Remind them pigeons, Brown People, we're here. Feed them Big Mama's cornbread.
while you sip lemonade from a mason's jar. Lemonade tastes better from a mason's jar. Do it shoeless, seated on the south side. Let your feet swing back and forth. Trust me, it's nostalgic. Trust me, them there pigeons will remember brown people were here. Mr. and Mrs. Arthur B. Blackwell III strolled here. Exchanged vows under that oak tree over there. Were baptized by Reverend A.C. Franklin II in the pond right there. Never before were so many brown people known to gather here. But now, brown people don't eat cornbread and drink lemonade from a mason's jar. Their feet don't swing back and forth here. And Big Mama, she's been long dead this year. Them pigeons right there, they'll remember brown people were here.
Yeah, that's, I had to put that in time. That was a poem written before before I got the music. We're gonna play one more track for you. We're gonna go back to Them Poetry Blues, and probably one of my all-time favorite tracks is called "On a Sad Day." And sometimes I ride along in a car, and I just turn this on, man, and get in the right lane if I'm coming from somewhere, and just go there. It's called "On a Sad Day."
On a sad day, we tell our stories of risk and surprise, of life and loss, of having won even in the midst of defeat. On a sad day, this is what we do. We war with each other, with ourselves, with the internal conflicts found in conscience, with the enmity in relationships, all on a sad day. Still, we find time to sing the old song, the new song, to pray, to recite endearing terms of love, of longing, those songs of passion on a sad day. My, 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 my. That's what we do on a sad day. Talk to you. I want to make sure you understand where the poet's coming from. Listen. On a sad day, we tell our stories of risk and surprise, of life and loss, of having won even in the midst of defeat. Oh, we do this on a sad day, when we got the blues, when we got the blues. We war with each other, with ourselves, with the internal conflicts found in conscience, with the enmity in relationships. All of this on a sad day when we got the blues. Still, we find time to sing. Sing the old song, the new song, to pray, to recite endearing terms of love, of longing, those songs of passion on a sad day when we got the blues. I know when I had the blues, I sang this sad song on a sad day when we tell our stories of risk and surprise, of life and loss, of having won even in the middle of defeat.
So we heard On a Sad Day from Mr. Emmett Weefall here in the studio just now. We're coming, it's 7 minutes to the hour, so we're reaching the end of Talking Earth. And I'd like to remind everyone, I did mention the Portland Poetry Slam earlier, and it happens every Sunday at Ranger Station, 6 p.m. open mic, open sign up. And I'd also like to remind our guest, Mr. Emmett Weefall, you have a book coming out next month.
I do. I'm really excited
about
it.
We haven't even mentioned it.
Yeah, it's the it'll be the sixth book, but it'll be about a new publisher, Fernwood Press, an imprint of Barclay Press. And the book is titled As Clean as a Bone. And the title is taken from the great black intellectual James Baldwin, who once said, if you're going to write a sentence as clean as a bone. That's the goal. And the book is Afrocentric. It's about blackness. It's about being African-American. It's about race in America. It's not a protest book. It's just an observation about things that happen to us in this life. Many of us are people of color. Many people are marginalized and poor. And I'm really proud of this book. I know Fernwood Press is excited about putting this out. Should be finished printing it probably by the end of the month, and they told me that hopefully by the middle of May, it'll be ready for sale. I think this book is going to do well. Just something in my gut tells me it's really, really going to do well, and I'm excited about it.
So is it very contemporary, or is it kind of...
It's a mixture of some different themes. I really don't want to give it away, but it's just a mixture of stuff. Look, I don't do any cursing and, you know, lewd kind of stuff like that. All of my stuff is clean.
Well, yes.
Clean to the bone.
I have to admit, some of my stuff is not.
So
sorry, but that's fine. But that's interesting that it's clean as a bone. In another way as well.
Exactly. In poetry, I really wish more people would study the art form of poetry. There are rudiments, and you know, you mentioned Scansion earlier, and a lot of people feel like all you got to do is write a line and then turn around and shape it and make it look like a poem. Well, that's form, and that's part of it. But there's a whole... sometimes math, a whole theory that goes, where do I turn that line? W.S. Merwin, one of the great, great poets, he doesn't use grammatical devices. He doesn't use semicolons and periods. If you look at Allen Ginsberg's work, you're just, you know, it's kind of like all over the map. You look at Walt Whitman, I could go on and on and on.
There are other poets like... Lely Long Soldier, it's not even all on the same. I mean, you have to turn the page to read all of it. Whereas, that was it. That was the book that was up for the National Book Award and lost. And then the person she lost to, Frank Beidart, I read him back when I first started going to college, and he used to have like 30 page poems with like about. There were there maybe like a sentence a page used a lot of white space.
There's a whole, you know, and one of the things that's really growing now is what's called erasure poetry, where they'll literally take practically an article and eliminate so many words that you would not know that it was from an article, but it has a coherent message throughout it. It's just phenomenal.
The artist makes a coherent message out of the chaos in front of them, or not the chaos, the order that they're changing.
Or create new syntax. And they just, well, in a sense, they don't change the order of the words, you just eliminate words, but the words they eliminate, by the time you get to the period, is with them gone, there still is a cogent sentence. And that's pretty powerful, but I love this art form. And I want to thank you tonight, man, for inviting me in to share some of this work. I play the instrument of my mouth and my words, and I've just been very fortunate to have some great musicians to back me up, like Ramsey Imbick, you know, people like Lewis Payne, Nathan Olson, you know, Miss Janice Scroggins, James Miller, Noah Peterson, who really gave me my start in this art form. Jim Blackburn, just some phenomenal organ musicians who are doing great work, man. Yeah.
I'd like to thank you for being on the show too, Emmett.
Thank you for inviting me.
Mr. Weefall.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me.
And good luck with your book next month. It sounds like it, and very interested. I'm going to have to find it.
Oh, no, I'll get you a copy. Don't worry about it.
Or I'll find it at Powell's.
Yeah, you'll get it.
Or some other bookstore.
Yeah.
Okay. This has been Talking Earth. And it's KBO Portland, 90.7 on FM dial. And please stay tuned for Gremlin Time.
I loved you once. In the margins of my mind, while others occupied the text, there being no room for you there, between the lines, whereupon sat the black letters, arranged as consonants and vowels, proper names and improper nouns, verbs as well as adjectives, whose syntax said, no, you cannot love her. Not now, nor forevermore. Oh, I loved you once. Outside the calligraphy, beyond the fountain of fonts, in the margins of empty space there, where I placed you, I contextualized you, alone and unscripted, augmented without words, unimpeded by the black letters.